We are in chapter 9, and every week I say, well, we're going to try to do 8 and 9, we're going to try to do 2. We can't get through 2. I don't see it happening. They're short, but there's a lot of information in there, and so depending on how long we want to stay, we could stay for quite a while. But if we get out early, we'll just get out early today, or we can just talk amongst ourselves. So in chapter 9, we have already had the first four trumpets that have sounded. And, of course, these are all in relationship to the seals, in relationship to the bowls that are poured out. So they don't necessarily happen consecutively, like, oh, all the seals are broken, then all the trumpets come out, then all the bowls are poured out. Somehow in this, they may be all going at the same time. It's all kind of conjecture, but just kind of keep that in the back of your mind, because you see a lot of similarities in what's revealed in each one of these between the three different symbols.
Well, aren't both of them, the first four, the seal and the trumpets, both directed at the earth? And
you know, I saw that mentioned, but then I think the four horsemen are coming out to do what?
Kill the destroy the earth, yes. Come upon the earth.
Come upon the earth. But when I started looking at it, it wasn't as clear. Yeah, like this one is going to be, the first four are all about the earth, and then the next three are all about people that are on the earth. But I also had another guy, which I didn't have time to really research, who was saying, you know, we're saying here a third of the people are going to die, you know, in this fifth trumpet. Then he goes, now you add that to the 25 that had already died back in the seals, and I'm like, my numbers weren't really adding up like I wanted them to, and I didn't have time to really go through all that. But yeah, you're right. It's supposed to be all about the plague on the earth, or the fact that the first four are all about the earth, which we'll see here in a second, and then we saw last week, and then now it's going to turn towards the people.
And much like 144,000, I'm wondering if a third, some of those fractions are exact, but if we know 144,000, we agree that that wasn't going to be the exact number of people.
Right.
So we know three means a divine completion, and one means unity. So you can look at it as each one of those numbers meaning something.
Well, and when I looked at this before, like Lisa was talking, we look at this and say, so a third of the people are going to die? A third of the people on the earth are going to die. And you think, that's an awful lot of people. How could God have this kind of a judgment? And you don't realize that two-thirds of the people are not going to die. I mean, as one commentator put it, God's twice as good as he is judgmental. However, it's not over yet.
I don't want to go too far ahead, but we see a third's going to die. But when we read on down, we're going to see the ones that didn't die did not repent.
That's the reason I said to this point, so because God is giving them a chance to repent again. Of course, they're going to turn their back on God and not repent. But
you're the half-full philosophy.
Right? I am the half-full. But, you know, luckily, as I've always said, I'm not the judge. I'm not the one that gets to make this decision. People always say to me, well, is you going to heaven? Or is this going to happen? Or that? And I'm like, fortunately, I'm not the judge. Somebody else has got all that under control, and I try to speculate and figure things out. I just, you know, my philosophy on this particular relationship and religion goes back to what Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the first thing somebody did was going to go, well, who's your neighbor? You know, and you go to the Samaritan. So you get this contrariness all the time. God just basically tells us to love him and love each other. If I get those two down really, 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 really good, I'll move on to a few other concepts. I'm still working on that love your neighbor as yourself. Man, that's a rough one. And how simple is this? You know, it really is that simple, and it really is that hard. All right, the fifth trumpet. And the fifth angel, because remember you got seven angels that are standing before the throne of God. They've all been given a trumpet. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, And the key of the bottomless pit was given to
him.
So, what is this? It says, I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. Oh, come on, guys. Y'all have to speculate.
I still believe it's one of the seven stars that's in Christ, that's in the hand of Christ. That's in chapter 1. I still think one of those stars, and I think it's him that's got the key, because it says he has the key to death and hell.
He does. In other places,
I'm going to go with Christ.
Yes, okay. What do y'all think?
The one opening it.
I don't know.
We had a star falling down in chapter 8. I don't know.
Go ahead, Liz.
Does a star falling depict a fall from God? Or a fall from heaven, like the angel that fell? Like,
you tell me.
Is it maybe an angel?
Well, there's two different ways of looking. One, that they use a fallen star. They use that sometimes just meaning a person who has become so deplorable and so bad, you know, that you were thought of as a good person and a good guy in the community or whatever, and then, you end up being, a low-down, dirty, despicable, so you are a fallen star. That's one way that they, in that time, they refer to people's personalities or whatever. But then, of course, a fallen star could be fallen angel, whatever, Satan and all tried to fight God and him, and all the angels follow him there.
This is an interesting study in this particular chapter. I mean, in Isaiah 14, and this is the New American Standard Version, but it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the process of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit." Which is, so you've got that kind of... I'm sorry?
That makes it sound like it's Christ.
No, this is Isaiah. This is not Revelation. See, that's definitely... The star of the morning sun is Satan.
Of course, the message, the original, is intended to that king of, I forget what he was of. But now, that's also included when he first starts to write it. It's to an individual on earth also. There's an argument there that this is not Lucifer. All
right,
that's in your
name. Right, well, and you've also got...
Lucifer means morning star.
Right.
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 The shining one.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the star in the last chapter was wormwood. Is this the same star?
And let's go back to that, because that was in verse 11. And the name... Wait a minute. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because they were made bitter. So is that? I would say probably not, since this one has a whole separate purpose, and that purpose is to destroy a third of the fresh waters. So I would say it's probably not. But can you see how this could be? Some people speculate that this angel, the star from heaven which had fallen into the earth, was Christ. That this was Christ, because when Christ died, he said, I now have the keys to heaven and hell, or what was it?
Keys to hell and death.
Hell and death. And I've got that in here someplace. I just can't. My notes sometimes get a little mixed up. So some people believe it's Jesus. Some people believe it's Satan. And don't get confused with there's another chapter coming up where you're going to see the leader from all the demons from the pits of hell. And that's going to come up, and it's going to be the leader of the locusts. And so the person who opens the key isn't necessarily going to be the leader of the person of the ones that lead all of these locusts out. Questions before I go on?
I don't get too far ahead, but chapter 17 will explain.
That is pretty far ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to hit but one verse. I don't want to get too far ahead.
Okay.
Something else will be coming out of the pit.
Okay.
So to speak, in 17, there's going to be, and the beast that thou sawest that was and is and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written from the in the book of life and the foundation of the world. So we got, which this is going to be a beast system. So there's going to be many things that's coming out of this so-called bottomless pit as we get into the chapter. That's all.
Yep.
I won't go no farther because I don't want to, you know, get to, you know.
Right. Here's a different thing. In the context, this star is best seen as an angel, whether he is good or bad angel, depends on his relation to the angel of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9:11. If the angel in Revelation 1 is the same as the angel in Revelation 9:11, it is an evil angel, perhaps Satan himself. If it is a different angel, it may be a good angel sent by God who opened up the bottomless pit for the purpose of judgment. Whatever happens, this, whether he's a good angel or a bad angel, whether he's an agent of God for good or an agent of God to release the, I mean, it's, this is the time that they are to be released. He's doing God's work because God has appointed this time. And we, there are other places within the Bible where he says that the angels were, some of the angels were thrown into this abyss, into this pit. You ever think about that? So did all the angels go to the pit? All the third that fell? So they're all tied up now in the pit and we don't got to worry about them? Or are they the princes and principalities that we strive against in this world right now? Some commentators believe that those that truly, truly overstepped their bounds were thrown into the pit and they were being held there in the pit. And there are others that are still, other demonic beings that are allowed to roam the earth and challenge us and try to have us to sin and those types of things. And, you know, of course, in Job, you see that Satan's standing there at the throne of God and he's still saying, and he doesn't, all he does is go, you know, Philip, sin. And God goes, yeah, duly noted, okay. You know, but he's going to bring every sin that you do before the throne of God and accuse you. And so he had that leeway at that particular time. And at some points, God would say, you want to try my man Job? Sure, go ahead. You know, Jesus says that he had been asked by Satan to let him go after Peter. You know, you remember that portion where he says, and Jesus says, but I didn't allow him to go fully after you and that kind of stuff. I mean, the war that's going on between heaven and hell is real. And I think, I mentioned this last week, if we think that that God is in charge of heaven and the devil is in charge of hell, we've got a skewed point of view here. God's in charge of hell. That's where the devil's going. That's not his headquarters. It's not a place that he rules. That's where he's going when all this is said and done. Let's go a little bit farther. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. The power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. And, of course, you can see that illustrated on my board behind me. Thank you very much for those scorpions.
I got the scorpion.
No,
I got it.
It's missing on there.
A locust.
Is this a locust over here? I'm guessing, okay.
In the larva stage.
We should label it.
Yeah, y'all need to log. I wasn't sure whether that was a cockroach.
I think it's beautiful.
Okay. All in the eye of the beholder. And out of smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. The power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were told that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Now, really, what happens when locusts come?
They eat the grass.
They eat all the grass, all the trees, all the leaves, all the everything.
I don't know if they're really locusts. I think he's looking at this, and he doesn't really know how to describe it. He's describing it in the best way that he knows how, and locust is the form of a plague that he can describe it best to the people during that time.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Joel uses the same. You know, he has the locust, and they both elaborate how they look. You know, in Joel, they were like soldiers or something, you know, had breastplates and this, that, and the other. So, yeah, a plague of locusts was something that everybody would relate to immediately how bad it is.
Right.
And it says on down here, but they got sting as a scorpion.
Yeah, I mean, what he's seeing is
so
something that he can't completely describe, and he's trying to do so in the best way of the language at the time.
And Jesus referred to the scorpions, like I told you last week, in Luke 10. Now, he referred to the scorpions and the serpents as men. He was talking about they were evil as, I can't quote the verse, but I give you power over the scorpions and serpents to tread on them and all the powers and principalities of the earth. So we know Jesus is talking about something different.
Right.
And when he sent Ezekiel, chapter 2, God told Ezekiel, watch out for those scorpions, beware of their words, don't fear them. So he's talking about people.
Right. Well, I mean, Jesus constantly called out the scribes and the Pharisees as serpents.
The serpents, yeah.
So, out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. These are obviously not natural locusts. They avoid plants and attack men like scorpions attack. They are a visual representation of the hordes of demons loosed upon the earth. And you get that more as you go a little bit farther down. Let's read a little bit farther, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Verse 5, and they are not permitted to kill anyone but to torment for 5 months. And their torment is like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it, and they will long to die, and death flees from them. Now, some people take this literally. I don't know whether, you know, if you feel so bad that you decide you're going to jump in the river and drown yourself, you float. That's what some people are like. Couldn't kill myself if I wanted to. Take some poison, and I'm not going to die from the poison. Jump off a building, and something's going to save me before I hit the ground. Because you're not allowed to die. You're allowed to be tortured, but you're not allowed to die. So, wasn't there a show on television not long ago where this guy kept coming back every time he would die, and he would just kind of be resurrected? I think it's what it was called, Resurrected or something. I don't know. I saw like one or two versions of that and went, okay, this is kind of rough. I mean, he'd been alive for like ever. He couldn't ever die. But every time he came back, he was naked. You know, he'd got come out of a river or something, he'd be completely naked and be, you know, that's how he kind of came back. I'm like, it's got to be a trip.
5 months is pretty specific. Again, 5 months is pretty specific, and usually we don't really pay attention to what time means, because we don't know.
Right, and there was some allusion to why that was 5 months too, but I didn't, you know.
Time of the locust from May to September.
That's what it was. It was the time of the locust. That's how long the locust would normally last. And you have those different, you have the crawling locust and the flying locust, and it's the life cycle of the locust.
Because you don't even realize something you eat up. They've been there so long because that's where they are born at.
Right.
They eat the bottom of the plant, and before you know it, they've done wiped out everything.
Right. So, and we did that analogy, or we did that look at one time of the three or four different types of locusts and what each one of them does as they go through the life cycle. Verse 7, and the appearance of the locust was, I want you to notice this one word, was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold. See, this is what we were talking about just a minute ago. He's describing it as best he can.
Right.
But if you look at this and you, he's saying like gold and like. Who installed that trampoline next door? Oh, okay. And their heads crowns like gold. And their faces were like the faces of men, and they had their hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. Wow, that's attractive. And one commentator said that, you know, the hair of women was kind of an allusion to how, you remember the temptation of Christ and how Lucifer had that real feminine appearance, and it wasn't like this evil devil that was red and all that. Mm-hmm. It was seductive. It was very seductive. That's what he's talking about here.
They're gentle as women.
Mm-hmm. But the teeth of lions shows how dangerous this can be. But and before each one of them, he says like. So he's obviously saying, I don't really understand this. And some people will say, oh, well, this, the locust is obviously helicopters that are coming, and these will be men who attack in helicopters. And that, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. And you can do all that speculation if you want to. But he's trying to say, you gotta think about a first century Christian who's looking and going, I mean, he's got chariots out there and some horses, but, you know, if he's looking at some futuristic thing that even we can't think about now.
Yeah, it's some kind of transformer we haven't seen.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a transformer.
I'm going to throw this in there right quick.
Okay.
On the bottom list, the word is abusos.
Yes.
Okay. Now, it's taken from, much like the word demon, it's not in the text. It has to be made up from two other words, buthos and bathos. Buthos means deep, but bathos means profundity, or it's a depth of knowledge or a high depth of understanding. Now, when you put the A or the alpha in front of that word, it negates it and gives it an opposite meaning. So what's going on earth now, that most of the people are, remember what Christ said, do not be deceived. Many are going to come in my name saying they are Christians, saying they are of me. So what we've got going on here is a deception. Never forget what Christ said. He's the one telling this too. So it's what's going on here is people are running around. They don't know what's going on. They're in a stupor.
To a point, or from the snow, based on the layers of locust life cycle that you just laid out beforehand, maybe not a complete stupor, but you kind of know maybe you're sin, but you've just been doing it so long for so many seasons that you just kind of lost track.
Now, this abysto is a prison for certain demons, theoretically. You'll see that in Luke 8:31. You see it in 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 4, and in Jude 6. This is probably the same place as the bottomless pit. More generally, this place is considered the realm of the dead and the same as Hades, which you'll see in Romans 10:7. Now, Jude says, and angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, which is supposedly what is loosed at this particular point, this judgment that God is calling upon the earth.
But this is not the great day or the final judgment.
No, it's not the final judgment.
See, I think they're released at the final judgment.
Well, we're seeing a lot, yes, you're right. But that doesn't mean that's the only time they're released. I mean, you've got the four angels which we hadn't got to here on the Euphrates, and they're held in a totally different place than the abyss. They're held at the river Euphrates, and I want to get to that point before we talk about it, and then we'll talk about it. Verse 8, and they had their hair like hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. Once again, he's trying to describe this to us. And, yeah, just lots of noise. And they have tails like scorpions and sting, and in their tails is the power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them an angel of the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon, and both of those mean the destroyer. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Now, before we go on, let's stop again real quick. Any more questions or comments? I know there's a lot here, and there's a lot of speculation as to what we're talking about. You know, when God has released these locusts before as a judgment upon men, he did that back in Exodus when he brought the locusts in against the Egyptians. In Deuteronomy, 28, I can't remember which one, I've got 1 Kings 8, Chronicles 7, Joel 1, and Amos 4:9. So there are lots of different times when God uses a locust as a judgment against his people. Questions? Well, let's continue. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, let's go back to that again. You've got a couple of altars within the temple, and I've got Solomon's temple cut away right up here. But the one we're talking about is the one that's, you can't see it. But as you go by today, it's right above Miss Carolyn here. It's this one where the little smoke's coming out. because that is the altar of incense. You've got an altar outside the temple, which is the brazen altar, which is where they would sacrifice the animals. But this is the altar of incense. And we've talked about this representation before. These are the prayers of the saints of God that are being lifted up to God. So this is symbolic of, this is a time of judgment that the prayers of the saints have brought upon, vindication that they have brought and have asked for God to have vindication for the things that have happened to them. So you see these four horns. It's a little square box, and there's coals, and the incense go up. It says, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month were released so that they might kill a third of mankind. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Well, I'm going to go to my military expert. Hey, Frank. How many people are in the U.S. Army now? Any idea?
In the Army?
In the military of all of the United States.
185 in the Marine Corps, 325 in the Army and Air Forces, and probably 375 or so in the Navy or something like that.
375,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So less... Right, about a million, too.
About a million. So this would be
reserves and civilians.
About 200 times what we have in the United States right now. Just to give you some general idea, everybody who fought in World War II, there were 70 million. That was the entire world. I mean, literally. It was Japan, it was Germany, it was all of the...
317 million people in America right now, population-wise of our country.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of our country.
So this is an army of, and supposedly China has an army, don't be speculating, supposedly has an army of about 200 million, or so they claim. So what he's seeing here, it could just be, this is a large, uncountable army. It's a large force. But a third of mankind was killed by the plagues. Hold on, let me just make sure I'm not missing something. And this verse 17, and this is how I saw the vision. The horses and those who sat on them, the riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of horses are like, once again, the heads of lions, and out of the mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. Okay, let's stop right there for just a second. By these three plagues, he talked about in 18:19, he said, these demon angels use their strange-looking horses to kill. The deadly power from these horses is in their mouth and tails. Fire, smoke, and brimstone come from their mouths. Their tails are like biting serpents. They can attack men from the front as well as from the rear. This is a demonic army headed by four fallen angels.
I think it's lies being told by the false teachers on the earth. The spirit of it is, that's what I believe. The whole thing, again, I believe is spiritual. We've got a deceived world. We got false teachers telling lies. We got the apostasy. We know Paul teaches of the apostasy of the church. And so I believe that that's basically what's
going on. So this happens over a longer period of time then, because they're coming to their own end and not at this particular moment.
That's way out. That's just me.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mine's just got a little bit of a different description. When it's talking about the horse, it says the breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow with sulfur. The heads are the same description you're talking about. And it says that from their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur, and that was where their power was.
I had one commentator go into real detail that's talking about if you are burned, you know, you got third-degree burns, how long and painful and arduous that death can be. Mm-hmm. Another one talked about how when you, you're caught in like a house fire or something, and you breathe in that smoke, all that toxic smoke, and then the fluid starts building up in your lungs, and how painful that can be before you die, and that it's this type of torment, it's this type of torture.
I read one talking about, I taught Hiroshima, the book by John Hersey, in 4 years, And one of them, when I was, it talked about the burns that people sustained, they wish they had died in the blast rather than Syria.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh. Hey, Mary, do you think after the locust thing, that 5 months of locusts, that there was any kind of period of chance for them to repent before these other angels came?
You're going to see that coming up.
It hasn't happened yet. Back to back things.
You ready?
Yeah.
And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, this is 20. This is the good part about reading that ahead right before you come into class.
I read it. I just wondered if there was a break also between the locusts and this second.
Oh, the locusts and the...
And the five-month period. I wonder if there was a chance for repentance after that. It doesn't really say.
Because, once again, it's not all chronologically, supposedly. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. And one of the commentators I was listening to or reading basically broke down each one of these things into saying, because we always go, well, I don't have idols of brass or of gold and silver. And I said, so you don't have any jewelry that you really covet, that you really, you know, this is my favorite ring, this is my favorite necklace, this is whatever. You don't have, where was the other one? Of stone and of wood, so you don't have a house. You don't treat that as an idol from time to time, that these are your possessions. These are things that you put before God from time to time because you spend so much time trying to acquire those. Repent of murders. Well, and you know, the good part about this is all of us go, well, fine, I haven't done no murders. Check that one off. I mean, there's always ones we can check off. That's not really the question of I didn't do this, but did you do that? Sorceries. What is sorceries?
It comes from a pharmaceutical word meaning drug pusher. You're taking of drugs.
Alcohol, drugs, mind altering, could be occult worship, could be several different versions. But when you see that, you know, I didn't think about that either until I started delving down into it. And I'm like, wow, really? So what it's really talking about is And their immorality, which is normally characterized as sexual immorality, whether it's fornication or whatever it is, adultery or whatever, and then or their thefts. All of these are just immoral acts that are against God and that separate man from God and allow that separation to happen. Let me see if I've got anything else. I don't think I do.
Can I read first?
Sure.
In 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul's telling us, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons. We've got demons written in there. And speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. So we got the word demon. When you take that back, demon means distributing of fortunes. Come from the word dio. So that is a whole different. When I was reading Revelation in that verse 20, it said there's a separation between this worshiping of demons is actually a separate religion from the worshiping of these other things, the gold and stuff. So this is a doctrine that is in the churches now, telling you we can turn it on now, and it tells us, what can God do for me? How can God, you know, it's all about money. We see that now already. So I said that's what the doctrine of demons actually is.
I think 20 is pretty much saying we can choose God or we can choose to serve Satan, and that we need to make our choice. There's no golden middle ground. And I think that we can do good things, but we can also have wrong intentions when we do those good things. So we can accidentally serve the wrong things, even with our good things that we do. So we have to really be careful.
The problem I have with this demon thing, too, Jeremiah 17:9, it said there's nothing more evil than the human heart.
Yeah.
We are more evil than any demon, supposedly demon, or the devil himself, because we want to serve basically ourselves. It's all about us and serving what we want to serve more than it is, I think, serving Satan or worshiping Satan. We want to worship ourselves.
We want to put ourselves on the platform as God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else did that?
Satan.
Mm-hmm. We're almost there, guys. There is a quote, and it was the only quote that was left on my page 4, so I don't have it verbatim because I didn't want to waste another piece of paper.
Oh.
But the quote, and you've heard it before, Billy Graham explained. Yeah, Billy Graham explained that if God did not judge America, then he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. You know, yeah. When Jesus talks about the abyss and the demons and those type of things, Matthew 24, verse 41, and you heard all this, you know, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, and then when you didn't, and then he says in verse 41, he says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from the accursed ones into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So there is a hell. There is a place where the devils and his angels are going to go. And this is Jesus saying this. This isn't Joel or Peter or anybody else saying this.
But to say it's hell on earth now or then is the problem I have with it. I know hell. I know that. I realize that. But to say, I think this is talking about something completely different.
Anybody else? Thank you.